Welcome to the Crushing Cashflow Podcast, where we share phenomenal advice and dozens of decades of wisdom from investors and entrepreneurs of all types and all stages of their journeys. We'll cover many forms of cash flowing assets, such as real estate, stock investing, entrepreneurship, and general finance guidance. Listen in and learn from those who are crushing it out there, as well as those who have been crushed by business or their investments. Now, here's your host, Andrew Schutzky.
Welcome back to Crushing Cashflow. With me today is my man, Chris Larson. Chris, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Andrew. Great to be with you here today.
Excellent. Excellent. So we're breaking out into the spring weather here in PA. I know down your way, it's still quite a bit chilly, but we'll jump right into it, man. We talk a lot on the show, as we're talking about in the preview for the show today, about multifamily investing. I think everybody gets the power there. What I love about your background and what you've been, call it, dabbling with or professionally investing into is alternative assets outside of multifamily that are in adjacent areas such as car washes, insurance products, et cetera. Let's start with your background. You know, bring us up to speed as to where you got where you are.
Yeah, no, I'd be happy to do that. And I think we share some of this stuff with respect to the engineering side of things. By the way, if you're listening, you want a little bit more in-depth dive into my background, you can get a free copy of my book. I talk about my story in here, nextlevelincome.com. If you click on the book link, we can even send you a copy here. But I'll try to summarize a little bit. So my passion when I was younger was racing bicycles, and good fit for an engineer, right? Because you have the machine, you have the body, you can train, you can put together training programs, and we can kind of circle back and talk about how that relates to investing. But I went to college. I went to Virginia Tech, as you see back here on the wall. If you can read the fine print, I got a biomechanical engineering degree and ended up staying and doing an MBA in finance. And that's why I bought my first property as well at age 21. But really what I wanted to do was race bicycles. And in my book, I talk about how I stopped racing as a large part because my best friend passed away. He was my training partner. He was my roommate. He was like a brother. And it really put me kind of into this tailspin, but also into this introspective space where I decided that I didn't want to keep riding my bike around in circles and kind of in this meaningless pursuit. Yeah. And I got to the point one day, I won a race. It was his memorial race. It didn't excite me. It didn't get me excited. I thought, all right, there's more to life than this. And I knew I didn't want to let an opportunity pass me by, but I also knew that in order to do that in today's world, you need money. And that led to my pursuit of financial independence, which ultimately led me to build my residential real estate portfolio and then ultimately transformed into investing in and ultimately syndicating multifamily apartment deals, which is now through Next Level Income transformed into a full kind of private equity portfolio, including, as you touched on, express tunnel car washes.
I'd love to know, you know, all jokes aside about the bike that goes nowhere, I started thinking about the Peloton, but back to the investing side. Yeah. I'd love to know what caused you to branch out to multifamily. A lot of the people we have on the show, a lot of friends, investors, they exclusively say you got to focus, you got to dial in on one thing or maybe two asset classes. What caused you to go outside of just apartment buildings?
Yeah. So it's a great question because in my book, it says using the holy grail of real estate, which I call multifamily because of the terrific returns, the terrific risk profile. But really, the book is about value add real estate. You know, if you look at Warren Buffett, he has a strategy, right? He has a value add strategy. And it really came from Benjamin Graham that he applies and he uses that framework. And maybe this is the engineer in me, but I build frameworks and I build thought processes for pretty much everything, you know, that I do. I try to understand it and I have a framework and an understanding. And even taking that a step back, I got into the medical device space, which I spent 18 years in because of the demographics. I got into multifamily real estate because of the demographics. And as we built a value add strategy around multifamily, we realized that not only do the demographics apply to other asset classes like self-storage, but they also apply, and you can apply the same framework to these asset classes as well. Now, it's more of a business, but you know, the bottom line is if you say, well, why would you do that? I'm looking for performance, right? Mm-hmm. I'm looking for performance in my portfolio. So if you say, hey, Chris, you want to be a better cyclist, why are you focused on, maybe you focused on cold plunge, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, well, that's because I want to improve my recovery. You know, so you're focused on the training, you're focused on the diet, you're focused on the recovery. Oh, you're focused on the aerodynamics. All these things are in pursuit of better performance. So if I find something that can enhance the performance of my portfolio, my investor's portfolio, I'm going to explore that. And if it makes sense and the same framework can be applied to that, then I'm likely to move forward in that area.
It makes sense. I mean, you always hear a lot of, it's got all about consistency and focus on one asset class. Yep. But if you look at it from a lens of, I just want great returns that are balanced, adjusted, a little bit diversified, from a holistic perspective, yep, it makes a ton of sense.
Yeah. Let's take the devil's advocate side of that, Andrew. Not everyone has an unlimited amount of focus, right? So this is why athletes have coaches. So you may say, hey, I'm focusing on the training, but maybe somebody writes my training program for me, or they put my food or my diet together for me. So as we move into these other asset classes, so like the car wash space, am I the expert at running a car wash? Not necessarily. So we have a team that does that. So just because you take a framework, you take a strategy and apply it to a different space, that doesn't mean that you necessarily do it all yourself. And that's kind of the key to scaling into other things, is learning how to build a team, find the right people, and then ultimately focus on optimizing those things.
Let's talk about the car washes. That's come up actually with a number of my investors personally in the last couple of months. Yeah. I don't know what prompted it. Maybe it was me inadvertently, but is the process a whole lot different from acquiring? I mean, it's a lot more of, I guess, a running, operating business with more mechanics in play, but is the process of acquiring as fundamentally different from a multifamily building? Either way, you're buying a business, right? So I'd love to hear the nuances there and the compare and contrasting view.
Yeah, that's a great question. So let's talk about similarities. So we are looking at a business, right? So if you look at let's say a 200 unit apartment building, it's really a business where we have, say, 200 customers paying us rent every month. Mm-hmm. We buy a car wash with 200 members. We have 200 members or 200 customers paying us a monthly membership. So that's pretty similar. Also, if we look at a multifamily apartment building, it's going to be traded. It's going to sell for a multiple of NOI. If we look at a car wash, it's going to be traded. It's going to sell for a multiple of, in this case, EBITDA, but essentially NOI as well. So you can figure that out. If you look at large apartment complexes, in general, 85% of the market is controlled by institutional owners, buyers. It's inverse to the car wash space. So the car wash space, you have typically four or less locations owned by 85% of the owners out there. So it's really a mom and pop driven organization. Okay. Also, you mentioned operating business. It's really an operating real estate business. So if we talk about kind of more turnkey businesses, this is a piece of real estate that you can buy and you can put what I would call like an off the shelf property manager in place. This would be like multifamily, self storage. Mobile home parks are going to kind of fall kind of in the middle. We do mobile home park acquisitions as well. But multifamily, self-storage, you're going to basically be able to hire a property management team, residential, and plug them in. The other end of the spectrum, you're going to have like short-term rentals, senior housing or assisted living, hotels, car washes. These are pieces of real estate that have businesses on top of them. And really, the returns are driven by the operations. So those are going to be significantly different.
Hmm. What do you like specifically? It's great to cover the similarities. What are you like specific to car washes? Like, why go down that route? Like you said, a lot of institutional buyers are shying away from there. It gives you a little more flexibility to work with the mom and pop owners. What do you like about it? Is it the cash flow? Is it longer term gains, et cetera?
Yeah. So first off, there's the ability to add value. So actually, let's take a step back. Because there's the lack of institutional ownership currently, we can acquire at around an 8x multiple of EBITDA. So we can acquire at an attractive basis. These are high cash flow businesses, and there's typically a lot of inefficiencies. So if you're running a two or three locations, I had a coaching client that had two locations, okay? Me personally, I actually have one location here locally that is a automatic in-base, a little bit different. There's no employees. We have a manager that runs that site. But if you only have one location, you're not going to have like national contracts. You're not going to be able to have more efficiencies when it comes to labor, chemical purchases, those sorts of things, right? So you can come in and immediately apply those. The other thing is we have our own proprietary CRM. We have an app. So we come in and we teach basic things like sales techniques, right? So if you're a mom and pop, a lot of times these smaller operators are saying, hey, I'm going to focus on the bottom line. So maybe you're not paying your employees as much as you could be. If we come in and we pay our employees or even staff, say one more individual, at each location, we know that that's going to improve customer experience. It's going to increase sales. It's going to overall increase the value for our investors and for us when we come to exit that property. It might slightly impact the short-term cash flow, but we know that the long-term cash flow and valuation is going to increase as well. So there's some inefficiencies there. Also, we have 18 locations currently. We can take our model and we can apply that model to each new location, okay, in a turnkey fashion. And we say we want to be like the Chick-fil-A of the car wash industry. And the reason we say that is because you and I both know that I can go to one of my local restaurants and I can get a fantastic chicken sandwich, okay? But it might cost like 12 bucks or 15 bucks, right? That's a lot. Like there's a burger down the road that sells for $18. It's a better hamburger, you know, than a fast food chain. But if I go to Chick-fil-A, I'm going to get a good value. I'm going to get a nice experience. People are nice to me. And by the way, I'm in and out in 5 minutes. Okay. I can order on my app. Super simple, super easy, super consistent. That's what people want when they go to one of the express tunnel car washes. We know we can hire somebody for $200 to detail our car. It's going to look better than a $5 wash. Sure. But we get that consistency and we do that. And then at the end, after we've applied all these systems, applied our model, if we go to sell, we can sell to private equity between a 12x and a 20x multiple, which is a significant increase over, say, that 8 to 10x multiple. So, you know, just using simple numbers, that's a 50 to 100% increase in exit multiple than our entry multiple. And that's where you can really get some pretty fantastic returns on these washes.
That's massive. And if you think about comparing that to multifamily, even greater potential there. What about, you know, of course, cash flow is the name of the game. And in recent times, you probably know, looking at multifamilies, it's really tough to find something, especially in years one and two, 30-year-old property to cash flow. Rents are already, a lot of them pushed up upward. What are you finding with car washes? It's a very generic statement, maybe more of a question, but what are you finding from a cash flow perspective? What range do you provide investors, either passive or active owners, for car washes?
Yeah. So I'll use ranges and kind of like generalities here, because every deal, every location, every kind of portfolio we pick up is different. But, you know, if you and I, Andrew, go out and we find a nice quality multifamily property today and it's stabilized and maybe it's a value ideal, we got to put some work into it. But we can probably get kind of like mid-single digit cash flows for investors with fairly reasonable long-term or fairly low or reasonable LTV for debt on that property.
Yeah.
While a car wash, again, it's going to be probably 50 to 100% higher, you know, maybe even three times higher than a multifamily property, just because the operations are driving those revenues. And you're looking at typically like 50% profit margins in these businesses.
Which is massive, right? So the underlying question is, why isn't there more competition for car wash? Because like everybody I've talked to, sounds great. What are the downsides? And maybe what's driving some buyers away from car washes?
Yeah, well, they're not. Again, it's not a passive investment, okay? So if you want to go and you want to buy a car wash yourself, my first answer would be to you, yeah, it's a great investment. You should certainly look into it. And you just have to realize that, hey, who's going to be running it?
Right.
And then that's where you run into issues, right? Because you say, well, hang on a second. There's only so many groups out there. So we built our own operating group. And by the way, guess who runs that operating team in our group? He happens to be an engineer.
Yes.
That used to run a medical production facility. So he understands mechanics. He understands chemicals. And what's a car wash? It's mechanical operations, chemical operations, things like spray angles and conveyor belt speed. And oh, by the way, people. And he used to run teams and he used to run very quick turnaround production of medical implants, medical products for different procedures. So that's a nice overlay. That's a nice fit. Obviously, I'm biased. You know, maybe you are too when it comes to finding somebody like this. But if you can understand mechanics, chemicals, and people and apply the financial principles that we talked about, you certainly can be successful. And then the final barrier to entry is if you want to buy an express tunnel car wash. So let's say you want to buy an in-bay car wash like we bought here locally. $1 million, $1.5 million to acquire one of those. Not a huge amount of money. If you want to buy an express tunnel car wash, you may be looking at $5 to $10 million because of the cost of equipment, cost of the land, all the vacuums. And it's a significant difference. But these bigger locations are going to be able to turn just massive numbers of cars.
I can only imagine. I've seen them around here. So this is all great. I know we're only scratching the surface. Is there any resources, books, podcasts specific to car washes? There's probably not one specific to that, but any resources you'd recommend for potential investors out there who want to learn more and maybe dig a little deeper?
Yeah. I mean, the first thing you could do, you can go to nextlevelincome.com, click on the podcast, and you can look for the car wash episode, which is with Cameron Broom. And I can pull up the exact, I think it was episode 110 maybe here.
Yeah, we can put it in the show notes if you want to shoot us.
And I can shoot. Yeah, I'll shoot that over to you here, Andrew, before we hop off here today. But that's a great intro. And obviously, if you're an accredited investor and you want to actually look at the financials and look at the numbers within these, then I can certainly send you one of our recent offerings as well.
That's awesome. That'd be great. Any particular books out there you recommend? I remember doing my own research on Amazon. Yeah. There's a number out there. Anything that you'd recommend, or is it more just generic running a business type advice?
Yeah. So I kind of went right to the source. So last year I went to the Car Wash Show, which is kind of the premier industry event of each year. So I just went to the Car Wash Show last year here in Nashville. This year it's in Vegas coming up here shortly. Yeah. So I guess it really depends kind of how deep you want to get into it, but you can go and you can subscribe to one of these industry. And I just read the industry newsletters that come through. And we worked with a lot of consultants. I own my own location. So I've kind of surpassed kind of that entry level point. A lot of people that are listening can go and access the same type of information that we have here. But again, I think it's just verified. Yeah, it's episode 110 of our podcast. And you can listen to Cameron Broom, who runs our operations team for our car washes.
Really cool. Thanks for sharing it. I know we went a little deeper on this topic. We probably anticipated a couple others, but you know, that's great. It's a great kind of point to break and say, for anybody who's listening, wants to know more about Next Level, working with you, working with car washes, alternative investing, how do we get in touch with you?
Yeah. So again, I've mentioned a couple of times, nextlevelincome.com. We try to put as much stuff up there to help out investors as possible, or just people that are looking to invest. Podcast is free. The book is free. Awesome. You know, we got blog articles up there as well. You and I talked a little bit about cash value life insurance as an alternative to banks in this kind of crazy time that we're in with the banking industry. And if you click on banking on our website, we even have a white paper as well as a webinar up there as well.
Guys, for those listening, do not turn down this advice. Please take him up on his offer. Lots of great content on his website. I was actually poking around this morning, so you'd be foolish not to poke around there. There's lots of great content there. Awesome.
Please do.
Thanks so much for joining, Chris. Been a blast. Appreciate you.
Andrew, thanks so much, man. Great talking to you.
Likewise, bud.
Thanks for listening in with us for another episode of the Crushing Cash Flow Podcast. We have a small favor to ask of all of our listeners. Please subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes. Each subscription and rating will help us massively toward our goal of helping reach as many listeners as possible each week. Thank you very much once again for listening. We're thrilled to have you with us as part of this journey, and we can't wait to share more of these stories with you. Stay tuned for much more to come.